DJ, drop a beat.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
Not another podcast.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Those people are the freaks, man.
Rice.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
James.
I am sick and tired of everyone telling me I'm confused.
Big Jim.
I told you. What did I tell you? Didn't I tell you? Cause I told you.
Samantha.
I am gonna have regular sex with you whether you like it or not.
Not another podcast.
Hey, welcome to Not Another Podcast. I am James.
I am Dan.
I'm Sam.
And it's just the three of us.
Woo!
We became a menage a trois, finally.
Good times to be had.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
Indeed.
Okay. Just don't tell my wife. First question. Samantha, did you find a red balloon on your car?
I did not.
Oh.
I did not. I was totally safe driving home. I even checked the back seat just to be on the safe side.
That was the funniest thing. I don't know. You follow her on Facebook, don't you, Dan?
Yeah, but unfortunately I've been offline for the last couple of days.
Oh, yeah, because you moved.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that later, too. Selfish.
I'm selfish. Shit.
I put aside my time to come help you, and you finish everything before I can get there. Fuck you. What
right?
kind of friend are you?
I'm sorry.
Isn't it ironic, don't you think?
It was weird, though, because it was like, Josie and I, when we moved into my father's house, it was, it took us 6 hours to load the truck, and it took us, like, an hour and a half to unload it. And this time around, I got the truck backed up, opened it up, and we started at 7:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And by 9 o'clock, we had everything loaded. My mom hadn't even gotten there, and she was coming down to help me out. And I was like, "Well,
I
shit.
Think what it is you were not in a hurry to move in, but you were in a hurry to move out."
Well, and that's the weird thing, though. Well, and honestly, it was. It only took us like an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes to get the truck offloaded into my father's house. But yeah, it was about the same time to load it and then offload it again in the new place because it was kind of a stone's throw away from where we were parking. So, yeah, shit, we had the truck buttoned up, everything finished off, and I had the truck returned by noon. It was like, well, shit, now what do I do with the rest of my fucking day?
Unpack.
Yeah, well,
Dan
didn't
take
show,
a nap.
Steve didn't show, Sean didn't show, and I got everything done before you could show.
I was all psyched to help you and everything, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I was looking forward
mm-hmm,
to it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and then called to check to see where you were, see where I needed to go. Nope. On our way to lunch, we're done. Fuck you.
Like, well, can I join you for lunch?
Well, you know, and I had offered that up to people. I was letting them know that I was going to have pizza and beer ready. However, that was under the impression that we weren't going to get done until, like, 5 o'clock.
Mm.
So getting done at noon, I was like, shit, it's kind of lunchtime. I don't want pizza and beer right now. That's for dinner.
Little day drinking.
Okay, guys, so we are officially just over a week away from Halloween, the best holiday ever.
Over a week, because Halloween's on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Next week, so yeah.
So a week from tomorrow, as of the recording of this.
Right.
By the time people hear it, it'll be like a day and a half.
Probably.
So
happy Halloween, y'all.
No. Yeah. And then the depressing season starts. But we won't get to that. We won't talk about that until after Halloween.
What, Thanksgiving?
That the is no depressing. Money season.
Christmas.
That was the saddest like Christmas I've ever heard in my life.
Hey, just so we can go back to our roots, Sam, the sound of disappointment.
Oh.
That's the sound of Christmas.
Chris appointment.
Chris appointment.
I can get into that.
So, Dan, your plans are to stalk children at the malls.
Yes, yes, it is. I'm going to sit on a bench in a wife beater and my sweatpants with flip flops on, and I want to eat popcorn really loud and just stare at children as they walk by.
How much chocolate are you going to store in your van this year?
I don't know. Last year it worked really well to only have like a couple of pieces, so I'm thinking if I put like a whole of those 50 piece count bags in there,
uh-huh.
Yeah, bigger turnout this year.
Can I get some candy?
You want some candy there, hey, Iron Man?
I'll bet you Avengers are real strong.
Let's see if they can save you from this.
Just call me Thanos.
Call me Ultron.
Oh, that's creepy.
It's not a good sign when you creep yourself out.
Right.
It really isn't.
Just had a moment.
Oh, that's the best sign.
For myself, I'm going to do my what has become my favorite Halloween tradition. And because I have 2 days off this year, I'm doing 2 days in a row. I'm going to stack up horror movies and just binge watch like the worst of the worst of the worst.
See, I always save the best of the best for Halloween. And it's like Halloween and into my birthday, actually, because I always take my birthday off. Mm-hmm. So we'll have all of Halloween night to watch movies. And it's usually the cream of the crop. So like The Exorcist, The Thing, you know, heavy hitter kind of good.
I think
horror
this
movies.
Weekend, because I get paid this week. This weekend, I'm going to try and get some movies that we don't have that I really want. And Exorcist is top of my list because I love that movie. And for some reason, we don't have it on Blu-ray. We had it on DVD, but we're in the process of switching everything to
transferring over. Gotcha.
So, and that one, oddly enough, is not easy to find.
Not on Blu-ray.
It is on Blu-ray, but it's not.
Suncoast in Lloyd Center had it. I saw
Wait,
it there.
Lloyd Center still has a Suncoast?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Fuck, where do you think I get all my movies?
Jesus Christ.
Wow,
they're
I haven't
expensive,
thought of one of those
though.
Places in a long time.
Sometimes. Like, if you buy them used, you can usually pick up, like, I think The Exorcist was their, I want to say it was, like, the 30th anniversary or something stupid like that. And it was, I think, $15.
That ain't bad.
It's really not, considering what Blu-ray is.
Yeah.
Usually it doesn't go for much less than 20 to 25.
Yeah. Which I would pay that if I could, again, if I could find it. But my biggest problem with like places like Best Buy and Target and stuff is they're scaling down their movie sections because most people buy them online. And the worst part is they scale the horror movie section down first.
Mm-hmm. Yep, action, and, I believe, goes last.
Well, yeah, because everyone likes a good action flick.
Well, everyone wants a little action.
James, I think you're a little old, because it's not that people are ordering them online. It's that everyone's streaming them. So, no need to buy these anymore.
Little Sam Burn there. Little Sam Burns.
Yeah, fuck you, Sam. So, what are your grand plans there?
Well, when it comes to movies, I think I'm going to watch the new Chucky movie that's on Netflix. I haven't watched it yet.
It's not bad.
I'm excited about it.
It's surprisingly decent.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
You should get some friends together and do a commentary.
Imagine the possibilities. I really should. But I have really flaky friends out here. It's kind of obnoxious.
You got flaky friends here, too.
Yeah, I know.
And they're old.
Yeah, well, yeah, one of them is.
I'm gonna order something online. Watch it online. So, And then Nightmare Before Christmas, because always.
Fair enough. This is Halloween is the intro song, after all.
It combines happiness and disappointment. All in one.
Which is why it's terrifying.
Oh, that's what that sounds like. Oh. I might go help my boyfriend hand out candy, because he lives in an area with kids.
Fuck
I was
him.
So excited. I have. So.
Good job.
Pat on the back.
Right.
Both my dogs have costumes, because, yeah.
They are your kids.
They are. So Essie has a s'more. She's going to be a s'more. And She-Ra is going to be a pumpkin.
Hmm.
They're literally both looking at me like, ugh. So anyway.
So much.
Couldn't find something more dangerous, Mom.
Can I be a pirate dog this year or something?
I have a pirate costume, so one of them can be a pirate. And it glows in the dark.
I'll bet
so
they want
I won't
that
lose
more.
Them. But I live in an area where there's no kids. I was so excited when I moved here. I was like, I'm going to hand out candy. I was so excited to hand out candy. Not a single kid my first year here. Damn it. So my boyfriend lives in an area where there's lots of kids, and he might, I want to hand out candy, and he's going to sit in the front you know, and pretend that he's just a mannequin.
So he's going to be the getaway driver, essentially.
Right, right, right. He is, yeah.
She's going to sit in the van.
In the back, coax them in.
Yeah. He's going to be like a scary decoration. Then he's going to grab them and toss them in the van.
Nice.
We got one. Floor it.
Go, go, go. Drive, and then we'll just drive around the block and just throw them out. Like, now you're lost, and run away.
Happy Halloween, Jack.
See, I just wait till they come to the door and then ask them if the rag that I have smells like chloroform.
Can you smell this for me?
Does this smell funny to you?
No. Wow. What a predatory conversation today.
Well, it's either that or meat fucking. So
yeah, but Jim's not here.
Well, then
needs to be present for that.
And I think the Luddite has moved from Dan to Jim.
Yup.
Yeah,
for
I think,
sure.
I think Dan's transferred his powers over. However, I will say that I did manage to get him on and record a couple of shows, but yeah, his Luddite powers, even though we recorded the show, his Luddite powers, it was weird. His audio was stunted and choppy, and when I put it all together, it was delayed, and I couldn't, like, sync it up. So he need, you
that
know,
sucks.
We need to pool our funds and get him a new phone, I think.
So it was all Jim all along.
Yeah, well, I had my suspicions.
What kind of phone does he have that is so bad?
I think it's a dirt clod.
I have a feeling it has
what
a crack
is
in
that?
The screen.
It's I don't even know what that is.
It's a clod of dirt that he...
Oh, I thought you meant like... I thought it was a brand. Oh, my God. I just had the worst blonde
now
moment I've
old.
Had in a, like a month.
I'm old, she's blonde. So.
There we go. Except you're the blonde and I'm brunette. No.
I transferred
oh my gosh,
all my blondeness
a...
to you.
No, you seriously did. All your butter
power
blondness.
Swap day.
Hey, I feel so non-powerful.
Please do the rest of the show like that.
Oh my God. It's going to get really old, you guys. People will turn it off. Because, like, even I get annoyed talking like this. Because when people talk like this, I just really want to punch them.
You're like,
I'm like
half
I'm like
blonde,
a
half drunk.
Uh-huh. Half Valley Girl drunk
I
blonde.
I just had another drink. I don't know what she's talking about.
She drank it out of one of the kids' skulls that
my
she picked
hair
up.
Looks fine. God.
He was a fighter, too.
He really was. He put up a fight, but I just...
But then I put out, like, a rump roast, and he went at it.
Wow.
How Samantha captured Big Jim. She lured in the van... With a nice
How
steak.
Dare you use meat?
Yeah.
His one weakness.
And then, like, totally just meat fucked him while I was drunk. I don't know. He was asleep.
Wasn't even paying attention.
He didn't even know what happened.
I love the fact that she
like,
meat fucked
my
him.
Smell like
right?
And he had no idea.
It's like cut him into a brisket and then meat fucked Big Jim's meat. I hope he listens to this one.
Made delicious sausage.
We'll just send him the link immediately and be like, no, you need to hear
Dude,
it.
Dude, seriously, not even joking.
This is what happens when you're not around.
Samantha meat fucked you, and it was wonderful.
It was hot.
Yeah. You enjoyed it.
And she was
hot
drunk.
Like Frank's Red Hot.
And there's the title of the show.
Yes! That should be a contest. Okay, so like every month we should see, or like every, I don't know, every 6 months or whatever, because this show's only a couple times a month. So every month, weekly, you know. So every however long we decide, we should keep a tally as to who gets, who quotes the title.
Who comes up with
quote,
the show title
yeah,
during the show.
Quote gets to be the title. And then we should have like a trophy that we keep or like mail to one another or something.
I have a feeling I'm never going to win that trophy.
No, sure. You've named a few episodes.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
I think the prize should be the cone of shame for naming the most episodes. Because there's nothing about this show you
shame
should be proud of.
Yeah.
I made a really bad pun the other day when I was recording with another show.
Shocking.
And I'm show cheating on you. Sorry, guys.
You're not the only one. Jim is weekly on a national radio show, so.
Man, fuck
oh,
you.
What a dick.
Yeah, he's not even podcast cheating. He went big leagues.
Jim. I don't know if mine's considered big league then. It's a startup and a network. It's like mid-league. I'm like mid-league, so I don't make any money yet.
You're still on the farm league.
Shit.
Jim actually makes money for his.
Yeah, see, I don't make... Well, we cover our operating costs.
Well, that's
yeah, we got to figure out how to cover our operating costs.
Yeah, because we broke a shit, and we're doing this for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it cost me about $200, $250 a year for... But this doesn't need to... We don't need to discuss this on there.
Give us money.
Please.
But... Patreon page. Support me. Yep, exactly.
It's not the first time that's been brought up. We just haven't done it. Bryce was supposed to, but he's a father now, so...
Man. Excuses are like assholes. Everyone's got one, and his stinks.
Yeah. It smells like baby.
Well, his baby probably doesn't smell too pretty either.
It's a cute kid,
love you,
though.
Bryce.
Have you farted after eating baby food? That's not.
You should have just left it. Have you farted after eating baby? It's not good.
Welcome Halloween.
Baby
we
might
get me
tender.
One dressed up like
it's,
a pumpkin.
It's tender, but man,
pumpkin spice baby.
It's like curry. It goes right through you, and it burns coming out.
Oh.
Goes in crying, comes out screaming.
We might have a new title for the show. I am writing that down. That is the new title for the show. The Cone of Shame goes to Dan.
Success.
Oh my God.
Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, I said a really stupid pun, and I made everyone laugh, even though the joke is really dumb, and then I started laughing so hard that I was crying, only because other people were laughing at a joke that was so dumb, it never should have been laughed at.
Those are the best, though.
Right?
They are!
We do that at band practice all the time. Like, yeah. A joke starts, and we run it to the ground until we're crying.
Mm-hmm.
We did that, we as a band went out to dinner recently.
Mm-hmm.
And we're dying because of a photo we posted of a couple of croutons with a tiny bit of chowder sauce on it.
It's what's passing for tater tots.
We
and
called
mac
it
and cheese.
Tots a la chowder, 50
yep.
bucks.
Yep, yep. Bullshit.
Kind of moose bouche.
You know, because you see the food at like really like five-star restaurants. It's like two strips of asparagus and two puddles of sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like $200.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of did our own thing. Because yeah, Dan and I had been there before, and it's kind of an Italian place. And first time I took Dan there, I realized how much trouble we were going to be in. Because they had macaroni and cheese on the menu, and Dan wanted...
Tater tots.
Tater tots and mac and cheese, please.
So we took the entire band there, and it was...
Worse.
But there was more to it because Dan, our bass player Dan, said a joke that had us all dying.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so proud of himself. And I can't for the life of me remember what it was.
No, because it was probably
it had something to do with being in the barn with your cousin or something like that.
Oh, God. I don't remember. But that was the nice part about it, though, is when you get kind of just a stupid joke rolling, sometimes it just rolls until it's beyond hilarious. You laugh so hard, it starts to become painful. And then you're like, oh, okay, what the fuck were we doing? And then you'll never remember the joke ever again.
No, and those are the best jokes. That's why I write them down, mm-hmm. so I can name the show after them. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay,
I
so
do children.
We talked about Halloween. Anything exciting going on in the world? I've been out of the loop. I've literally been out of the loop as far as news and shit goes.
I avoid news like the plague.
Well, it's kind of my job, so.
Well, for you, yes. For me, it's more so to a point where every time I've ever turned on the news, it's just bad news. And it's a severe weather storm culminating or something like that, which most of the time I get my warnings through the radio, the emergency broadcast will pop on because I listen to the radio all day long. And so it's like, if something really bad is happening, I'll find out about it. Or the guys on talk radio will talk about something really bad going on. So I'll get my news kind of that way, but watching the actual news, nah, I'm good.
I just finished a week-long vacation where I just pretty much disconnected from everything. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I was forcibly brought back into reality halfway through my vacation. So much fun. So I turned on my news feeds this morning before I went to work, and I saw that the widow of the Green Beret that Trump supposedly talked to, she confirmed the story that basically Trump said he knew what he signed up for, like really callously.
Oh, lovely.
And of course Trump's got to hit back, you know, cause he's got to be the best and everything. And I'm just like, dude, you fucked up. Own it.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to be wrong.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay to be an asshole.
I mean, you're wrong a lot.
Try to fix it.
Yeah, he's wrong all the time.
You'd think he'd be used to it.
You'd think.
At every turn, he is incorrect.
It does seem to be that way with him.
I know he's pushing his new tax bill, which could really fuck people like us.
Yeah.
I had figured that's what his intention was going in.
Oh, yeah, no, so. And here's the thing. Here's my belief. If somehow he gets his tax plan passed and it goes into effect, he might resign.
Well, because yeah,
because
so he'll just like quit being president.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that.
It'd be funny though if he quit and then the next president came in and undid everything he did.
Well, that's exactly what's going to happen, whether he quits pretty or not. Much. The next person that's elected in office is going to be like, "All right, let's undo this, undo that, undo this, undo that."
Give me all the executive orders signed by Trump.
Control alt delete.
And then just burn them all.
Control Z.
That's the next president's inaugural speech, is just taking all of Trump's documentation, which is like one piece of paper with a kitten drawn on it, and
it's not even a good kitten.
It's not even a good kitten.
It's like
it
a stick with a circle.
Like
forehead.
You can barely tell it's a kitten. Like he has to tell you that it's a kitten.
Look, I drew this kitten for you. Hang it on your refrigerator. It's the best kitten ever.
Oh, look at that. It's on fire.
And then you just burn it.
Sorry.
You know, we joked about George W. Bush's library just being like coloring books. And
Curious George.
Yeah. I think that actually applies more to Trump.
No, Trump doesn't even read. He has come out and said, "I don't read. Reading's a waste of time." I mean, paraphrasing, of course, but he is actively, like, he doesn't read anything. The book that he was toting recently with about the sheriff. I'm blanking on who it is, but he was talking
Arpaio?
About this book is a great. No. There was a different sheriff that wrote a book.
Oh, a different racist sheriff.
Yes,
another one.
But the sheriff was black, so it was really weird. You know, so I'm like, this is strange. So it was all just backwards because Trump is, of course, racist. So why is he toting a racist black man's information?
Probably because he works for Fox News.
There is that.
So I don't remember. I'd have to look it up again because there's been so much. There's so much news. There's no way to possibly keep up on it. I was watching Patton Oswalt's newest comedy special, Annihilation.
Oh, I've
got to
watch
Netflix.
That. Yeah, it's on my
Netflix
too.
Yeah, it was good. But he was talking about people come up to him and say, "Man, there must be so much material. Like comedians must just like be loving this." And he's like, "No, we are spoiled for choice right now. But oh my God, there's so much. It's overwhelming."
Oh, by the time
it's
they
like
write
choice paralysis at that rate.
Yeah, by the time they write a joke, like there's like six more because like so much happens. they can't write jokes fast enough and get them out there to the public fast enough because like so much shit happens. Yeah. I mean, the guys who are reaping the benefits from this presidency are guys like Colbert, Oliver, Trevor Noah. Jimmy Fallon has come out and said he's not going to do any Trump stuff, which I totally applaud him.
I do.
But at the same time, I kind of feel like he's very milquetoast, you know?
Me and Jimmy Fallon, he's one of those comedians where there's just something about his face. I really want to punch him in the nose.
I mean, is he really a comedian, though?
Not really. Well, that's my big issue with it. He's kind of a, in my opinion,
he's an entertainer for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like he's an entertainer, but I would not have classified him as a comedian. Does he do stand-up? Like actual stand-up?
My knowledge of Jimmy Fallon is that he came up as a writer on SNL. I don't know that what he did before that. My guess is he did writing on, like he did sketch writing or something. Most of the performers on SNL are writers to some extent.
Right.
But they're also performers and stuff like that. And a lot of people have come up in SNL's writing room and ended up on the show as cast. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the way it was from the start, though. I mean...
No, they... all of the original SNL players were... comedians.
Right, but they were basically writing the skits for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, I think that was a natural evolution where the writers become the show if they're, you know, got enough presence.
Yeah, and then they've had performers who end up just in the writer's room. I think Tim Meadows is still writing for SNL, but he doesn't perform anymore.
Well, he's on the Goldbergs.
Oh, did he finally
get... he's got a running gig on the Goldbergs.
Yay, Tim Meadows!
I love the Goldbergs.
Me too.
But I mean, Tina Fey would not have the career she has without SNL.
Oh,
so.
Totally.
And Fallon totally got the Tonight Show gig because of SNL.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was on after Leno, but like he wouldn't have got that without SNL.
No.
You know. Same with Seth Meyers. Seth Meyers was doing Weekend Update for years, and now he's got his own late night show, and he still pulls from that, especially with the Trump stuff. And Seth is a damn fine writer.
Fair enough. My big thing about the whole Trump situation, actually, one of my friends on Facebook put it into perspective. He was like, you know, at this point, I never thought I'd think to myself, man, I kind of miss W.
I think a lot of people are saying that. Even my in-laws. That's rough. I was talking to my in-laws about it this weekend, and they were like, yeah.
George wasn't terrible.
Yeah, we kind of miss him.
So I was fact checking.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was fact checking a little bit, just so I can. So the book that Trump was promoting was Sheriff David Clark, who's an anti-immigration sheriff. So
of course he is.
So maybe I can't say if the guy's racist. That's just like things that I've read online. You know, like with the hashtag fake news and stuff. But it's just, he was, and I bet he's never read a word of the book. It's just, he's like, oh, this guy's anti-immigration. Cool. So, and my phone is taking forever to load because I can't record and load this at the same time.
Oh, who was it?
Yeah, so it's Sheriff David Clark, and that's the book Trump was promoting a couple months ago.
I saw the funniest thing. You know, he's still getting pressure about the, you know, his big campaign promise was build the wall between Mexico and California. And I think it was Colbert who had video of Trump saying, we're getting samples built. And then he showed pictures of samples. And he basically said, Trump's plan is to just get samples until the wall's built. So then there's no cost at all.
These samples are free, right? God. Right? Right, yeah.
And then he showed some great samples. There was like the Venetian style. And it was really funny. I'd have to find it. It was on YouTube that I saw it, but it was really funny.
I genuinely think Stephen Colbert really has my favorite brand of political humor. Because for the most part, I mean, especially when he was on the Colbert Report, he blew things out so far to prove the point. that it was incredibly funny to watch him do it. Like, he would play that super conservative, you know, Republican, but poking so many holes in what he was talking about. It's like, ah, that's brilliant.
What I like about Steven now is that he's not playing the part, and he's still, but he's still doing that. He's showing how ridiculous things are by blowing it way out of proportion. But it's like, he's got, you know, he backs it up with the video footage and the, you know, the newspaper articles. And the best part about it is Trump has called him out. Like, Trump hates him.
Yeah.
Just hates
then
Steven.
He's doing his job.
Exactly.
You know, another Steven that Trump hates is Stephen King. He has blocked him on Twitter. And Stephen King has tweeted from J.K. Rowling's account at him.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really funny when that happened. The other thing too, though, we're talking about the late night shows and the political shows. The two other guys that are really well done and are really coming up, especially with all this Trump stuff, is Trevor Noah from The Daily Show.
Oh yeah,
and John Oliver. Yeah. And I
love John Oliver.
Both of those two guys are wonderful.
Dude, John Oliver.
He's my spirit animal.
It's one of the best places to get your news from nowadays. Seriously. Because it's like,
he really doesn't hold anything back. He just kind of,
well, it doesn't hold it back,
out.
But he vets everything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you can go online, check his sources, you know? And I think Daily Show is as good, too.
I think Trevor Noah is definitely starting to get a better handle. And I will say that, because I've seen Trevor Noah before he got on The Daily Show. It's one of those things where I think he has some writers who understand him a little bit better now to kind of help him move through. Because when he first started off, it was kind of clunky.
It was very shaky.
But once he got his stride and once they got him figured out, he's
well,
wonderful.
I think part of that is they've allowed him to write more. Because I think he does more writing. Because I've seen his stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
His stand-up
is
hands down.
I just watched his
stand-up. Yeah.
I just watched it for the first time yesterday. Like, I've known about the guy for a long time. I've seen some of his bits, like, online and just clips. But I loved his stand-up. I actually downloaded his audiobook for his memoir. And his memoir takes place before he ever got famous. So it's not about him being famous. It's about growing up during, you know, apartheid and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So it was about,
yeah.
You know, because he was basically, I mean, he was, his very existence was illegal.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, where he grew up in South Africa. But it's just, it was really, I'm excited to get into it. But, so, I like him a lot.
Yeah, those three guys, seriously. Now, the problem with Colbert is he's doing an entertainment show. I kind of feel with Trump being president, he wants to be back doing
the Colbert Report.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in all fairness, I mean, that really was a strong suit for him, so I can't really hold that against him because I kind of miss him on the Colbert Report.
It's really funny when he gets Jon Stewart to guest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, they have so much fun. They poke so much fun at Trump.
Well.
And you can find this on YouTube, and I highly recommend it. They did a whole thing about Trump being the nominee for the Republican Party where they kept, like, wait, before you tell me who the nominee is, let me take a drink because I'm very parched. Just so they could do spit takes at each other. It was so great.
Actually, you know, and it's weird, too, because, you know, when I was in high school and Bush was in office and I heard so much of the outcry against him, I saw so much of the people I was around constantly fucking just bickering and bitching about it. You know, it was kind of weird because aside from our little group here and band in particular, you know, I don't really see as much of it. I mean, aside from all the big-ass protests and whatnot like that, but even when W was in office, that was still happening.
Mm-hmm.
It was just fascinating to me, and honestly, the one thing that I've noticed lately that was kind of a big strike, in my opinion, was Eminem. I mean, because when I was in high school, he did White America, and he kind of had that as a slander towards government in general. But recently, I don't know if you guys have seen the video or heard about it.
Yep.
Yeah. He just straight up calls Trump out in a freestyle rap for the, I think it was the BET Awards. I think. But yeah, he just freestyled this fucking nonstop just assault against Trump and finished it off with, we fucking hate Trump. And it was like, wow. Okay. It's like System of a Down is talking about coming back. It's like, well, that would be great. I'm looking forward to more music from System of a Down, but did you assholes have to wait until now?
Well, yes, I mean,
because they needed something. They needed a muse.
No, seriously, that's absolutely true, though. My mom and I were talking about music and how it's changed. And, you know, 60s and 70s, people really had something to say. They had a reason. They had reasons to rebel and say what they were saying. And I mean, we've had, there's always something to say, but I feel like it's, artists have not been pushed or challenged in a very long time the way that they were. Mm-hmm. And now is the time when everyone is being threatened, and now is the time to stand up. What I mean? Like, it's so much more in our faces now. And it's, I think artists have a lot more to say and a lot, you know, a better point than, hey girl, how you doing?
Right.
You know, like that shit music.
I'm looking forward to our heavy hitters coming out of retirement to do something.
I'm wondering, because with System of a Down potentially coming back, I'm wondering, will we see Rage Against the Machine? I mean, they are a huge protest band.
True.
Now, granted, they usually protest a lot of third world stuff.
Yes.
But let's be honest here.
Most of their stuff was.
We're a year or two away from becoming a third world country ourselves if
current
trends continue. You know? I mean, it's not. At this point, I'm praying for nuclear war because the alternative is we live in shanty towns.
Well, at least we could start over.
Ish.
Well, you know, just, you know, get your Geiger counter in there, you know, you'd be all right. Right?
Why play Fallout when you can live it?
Right? That's my thought, you know?
I mean, screw virtual reality.
Man, fuck that. No, I don't know. It's always one of those sore spots for me, because politics, I know Bryce, it's kind of his, you know, fire suit, but so is religion at that rate. And for me, politics... Yeah. It's always one of those subjects where I always hate hearing about it because, honestly, I'm a big fan of what you're going to do to fix it. And
I'll be honest, the reason I like talking to you about it is because you come at it from that angle.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of what you're going to do about it happening now.
Right.
There's celebrities, you know, movie stars, TV stars, actively saying, like, this is not right.
Right.
And if people like that, who know that they have people like us looking up to them, maybe those people go, hey, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it gets more people involved. So when the next election cycle comes around, more people will actually go out and vote to prevent more bad... Because at this point, our education system isn't working.
No. And honestly, that's a big issue that I have as well, is a lot of the times when you have a big decision put ahead of you, most of the time, you know, in all fairness, Trump won because he learned how to play the system, and the system is fear. The system is unrest and unease. You take all these items, you throw it back into the public face, they get pissed off, they get furious, and then they get scared. And then they start looking for you to fix it. And because you're the shining star who brought all this to our attention. They already knew it was a thing in the first place, but you brought it to their attention. So how are we going to fix it? And then you come up when you say, I got you covered. It's bullshit. It's all bullshit. It's playing into people's fears and their fear of the unknown as far as what tomorrow will bring. And for me, that bothers me when it comes to decision making, because it's like, I try very hard to recognize when someone's trying to pander to that. And my first thought is, hold on, wait a fucking minute. Do you actually have anything valid to say? Are you actually coming from a point of intelligence, or are you just reacting? Because reactions don't get us anywhere. We are creatures of habit, and our habit is to fight or flight. And we get to such a point where, you know, we get afraid of what's going to happen, or we get mad about what's going on, and we don't think further than our initial thought. You know, it's the kind of thing where when you talk to people about it, it's like, oh yeah, you know, Trump's in office being an asshole. Fuck him. I want to kill him. It's like, well, A, all you do is solidify his beliefs and his structures yeah. and prove that there are people who need to be controlled like you. Hmm. And all you do is you validate that if you went through with it. Secondly, the people who would come up right behind him, probably not going to be any better because he picked out the better part of his entire set. So are you planning to take them all? Because if you are, that's mass murder. What right. fix? What problem did you actually fix? Because at that rate, even if you succeed, now the country's going to be looking to, well, how can we stop these madmen from doing this again? More control, more fear. And all you do is you feed the machine. And it's like, so think about it for a tenth of a second and just go, is this actually the smart thing to do? What is right action? You know, could I be wrong? I'm pissed off right now. Why am I pissed off? What part of this bothers me? What part of this pisses me off? And is there something I can do to fix it without causing irrevocable harm to myself and others around me that I actually care about who have nothing to do with it? And it's that thought process that a lot of people missed when it came around to the election cycle, is everyone got all tizzied up and pissed off. Oh, Hillary with the fucking Benghazi thing and her leaked emails, and Trump's bringing this all to the forefront because he didn't have another foot to stand on. Has a problem with immigration. Well, he just pandered to the entire southwest of the Americas. And it's like, well, great. And you assholes listen to him without thinking for a second. Wait a minute. Why is he bringing this up and not talking about how we're going to make our education system better? How we're going to make our healthcare system move in the right directions that it got started on and finish it in that direction? No, we're going to repeal that because fuck Obama. Okay. More anger, more rage, more pissed off. I cannot tell you how many people I talked to when Obama was in office who hated his guts because of what he was trying to do to healthcare. It's like, are you paying attention? Are you actually looking, or are you just listening to people go, whoa?
And that's and like, that is the point I was going to make.
Yeah,
I'm with you because I heard a lot of people, my own family,
mm-hmm.
coming out, oh, hate Obama because he pushed through this healthcare. I'm sorry. You hate the guy who helped me get health insurance so I can be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me dead? Do you hate me?
Again, are you paying attention?
And the other thing, too, is a lot of those people, and this comes down to Republicans, a lot of those people love the Affordable Care Health Care Act. They love it. They hate Obamacare. They hate Obamacare because Republicans called it Obamacare, and they couldn't figure out that the health insurance plan that they're on is, in fact, Obamacare, and they have to be shown.
Right.
And that changed a lot of people's minds when, you know, they kind of figured that out after Obama was gone, and they were, you know.
They call it crap.
Yeah. So, but it comes down to, it really comes down to education, and another reason Trump won is because he was, you know, banging his pans together. Pay attention to this. Pay attention to this. Don't pay attention to the news media
mm-hmm.
who's, you know, shoveling all my secrets. It's all fake news. I didn't have, you know, that many companies bankrupt. I didn't screw those people. I didn't say grab them by the pussy because I'm famous. I didn't say any of that shit. It's all fake news because it doesn't agree with what I'm telling you.
Right.
And it goes back to education because the majority of the people who voted for him said, yeah, it's all fake news. And that really comes down to the fact that in this day and age, you can get news anywhere and it doesn't necessarily have to be truth.
Well, and that's
right.
The
biggest, it just has to agree with your own point of view.
Yeah.
Well, and you can find that anywhere. Like it.
Yeah.
I was writing a paper in college, and one of the teachers, you know, there's a reason we don't use X, Y, and Z resources, you know, because anyone can put anything they want on there. And the thing is, you will, if you dig deep enough and search long enough, no matter how crackpot your idea, theory, whatever is, you will find something to support it.
Yep.
So yeah. You're ignoring everything else. and only focusing on that one thing, that one tiny thing that supports your idea, and you're like, well, this person, yeah, but how credible are they?
And I will say, I'm sorry. I will say that, yes, the media is partially to blame because news in general has become entertainment.
News is a parody of itself right now. It's all, I mean, we report on the Kardashians more than actual things that
matter.
We care about.
I actually think that that's turning around, and I will give credit to Trump because it's forcing news outlets, serious news outlets, to really dig deep, vet their sources and make sure. But the problem is the public's trust in the media is at an all-time low.
100%.
And it's up to people like us doing this show. When we bring up news stories, we have to make sure it's a responsibility that I've taken on for us on this show that when we talk about a news story that we have the facts.
Right.
You know, if we're going to talk about a news story, let's make sure that we all are on the same page and we've all done the research. Otherwise, we're talking out of our asses and we're no better than Fox News.
True. My big thing about when we have conversations about, you know, anything that's going on in general, whether it be good news or bad news, is my, and James, you already kind of know this about me, but my first thought process is, okay, where's the other half of the story? Mm-hmm. And is there possibly another half of the story that would contradict this? Or does it just make total sense and, you know, people are just being asshats? Because playing the devil's advocate for me is a way to exercise people's minds. Even if I'm completely asked out wrong, and I have been multiple times, doesn't bother me. So long as I gave you the opportunity to think, there is another part of this that needs to be explored. So anything that comes down to opinion, like, well, I think Trump's being a fucking asshat, the general consensus would agree. However, for rich-ass motherfuckers, he's doing great.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, again, there's always that other half that needs to be considered, whether it be good or bad, one way or another, whether it makes you right, whether it makes you wrong, it doesn't matter. You have to explore the whole context of what you're talking about. Just like Samantha was saying, if you look deep enough, you will always find something to back you up. Yeah. So if you don't look deep enough within your own thought process to go, okay, this could be wrong, let's figure it out. And it's kind of the scientific way of breaking things down. Poke holes in your own ideas to see if you can. Once that fucker's watertight, it's probably a decent idea. But then consider that it could be wrong and why, and work back to it. If you do that enough times and you come back to the same solution every single time, the likelihood is if you got the facts to back it up, you got the other sides to back it up, and even your own opposition that doesn't quite justify it being an opposition, hey, guess what? You got a decent idea. And when people fail to do that and they just act on instinct, usually out of fear, because that's the easiest thing to incite, just like we had talked about before. Mm-hmm. That's when we start getting rash, terrible decisions like electing a Cheeto in chief.
Well, not only that, but what helps what you're saying, what helps drive your point is that people don't want to take the time.
Nope.
That's exactly. You nailed it right on the head.
We're a society now of instant gratification. Now, gimme. I'm going to Google this, and the first thing that I see, that's the truth.
Yep.
And
which
it
is
might
sad.
Not be.
No one wants to take the time or put forth the effort to dig just a little deeper. And honestly, if you dig just a little deeper, I think I've talked about this on the show, but I have a friend who used to post a lot of articles on Facebook to support her outlook on things. And I will say that her outlook was very, you know, well thought out, and she had her heart in the right place.
Gotcha.
9 times out of 10, though, the articles she would put forth were, number one, not from vetted news sources. They were opinion pieces that she would present as fact because that's how she read them. And
Facebook says
I took
true.
Her to task a couple of times, and I walked her through it, and I showed her, look, I love where your heart is, and I support it. I may not agree with some of the things, but I support the fact that you believe in them. And, you know, I love that your heart is in the right place on all these issues. However, when you post things like this, you're spreading about falsehoods that only serve to damage
your argument.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One of those articles was a, and I remember this distinctly, it was a police entering a house without probable cause, blah, blah, blah. It was a, this whole thing. And it didn't seem right to me. It didn't
just doesn't quite seem
it didn't add up, right. So I dug some digging.
Dug that digging.
Yeah. And found the original article from some town back east. And it turns out that, yes, the cops did enter, but they did have probable cause. However, they I forget the details on it, but they ended up getting reprimanded because they overstepped their bounds.
Gotcha.
And whoever, you know, however many times this article got passed on and stuff, it blew up into this whole thing of like, the government's trying to take over. And no, that's not the case. And then there was another article that that had to do with some sort of abortion clinic.
Gotcha.
Followed that down the rabbit hole. No, it was an opinion piece that got turned. It went from one site to a second site to a third site where it got turned into this news article.
Gotcha.
And I had to show her that the site that she got it from was not a news site.
Right.
And we got into this argument about news in general. And I told her, it's like, look, if you're going to post stuff, you have to, number one, know the source. If you pull it from a site that's not a legitimate news site, that blows holes in your argument. Huge holes in your argument. Yeah. You could drive the Titanic through it. You know,
the land.
So that's the first thing you have to look at is the site. And she said, well, you know, like what news sites? And I gave her a list and she goes, oh, I don't trust any of those. I said, okay, fine. You don't trust CNN, and of all of them at the time, they were the best. And I will still say that CNN is one of the better news sites, and they've gotten a lot better since Trump has been in office.
Right.
But there are other bigger news sites. The AP is a big one.
Al Jazeera is usually pretty good. BBC is not too terrible.
BBC is pretty good, I will say. But she, I don't trust any of those sites. Okay, fine. Do you trust your local news?
Probably not.
If you can't trust your local news, that's a big problem, because local news isn't beholden to big stockholders. True. They're beholden to the community.
The one thing I found, though, especially with news in general, is, again, it tends to all be sensationalist bad news. I mean,
well, the problem with news is that the old adage is, if it bleeds, it leads.
Right.
That's a problem. But the thing is most of the stuff that is news that we need to be aware of is stuff like that. I mean, it's unfortunate, but in our day and age, we need to be aware of stuff like this because it could affect our personal lives.
Right. But more so to the point where it's like, you know, with Trump trying to move in the tax law and things like that. And it's like, well, it comes down to the question of, is there something we can do that would effectively help that not happen? And if not, then what else can we do? You know what I mean? It's like, I try to look at it as objectively as possible because I try to see things from, like I said, a way that could possibly get worked. You know, what can we do? Can we call someone? Can we talk to someone? Can we email someone? Whatever. To tell them, hey, this is not going to work out good for us, and then move forward from there. Or is it just a lot of...
And I agree with you, but the problem with... Let's just take the tax bill. The problem is how he presents it.
Mm-hmm.
He presents it to the public like, this is going to be a great thing. Mm-hmm. You're going to get tax cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And that alone stops 95% of the population from digging into it.
Yep. Because he sells it to pander to our basest instincts.
And again, like we've been talking about, no one wants to take the time or put forth the effort to dig into it. But if you do, that's when you find out that the tax cuts are not for you and me.
Yeah.
They're for the 1%. It's for the richest of the rich. Mm-hmm. It's for corporations who don't have to pay the money to mm-hmm. their workers. You know, it does not benefit Joe the plumber.
Right.
And that's a problem.
Normal jack-offs.
The mm-hmm. other problem is the people voting on it are kind of rich.
Yeah, they're not and normal jack-offs.
They want those tax cuts. Well, and so they will present it to the public of these are good things.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's selfish.
There's only a few people out there that are going to stand up and go, this ain't right.
Yeah. And unfortunately, their voice becomes the minority.
No, there's
the comedians are doing the research.
Yeah. There's a few
honestly.
There's a few Congress people who are coming out and saying this tax bill is not going to benefit us, but the problem is they're not the loudest voices. Yeah. And they need to be the loudest voices. They need to be heard. They're getting hushed though.
Well, they're being overrun by Trump's Twitter feed and all the other things that he's doing that are, you know, causing a commotion. We don't know normal fucking congressman who's actually trying to push for us mm-hmm. because that's not who we hear about on the news.
No.
What we hear about is what Trump tweeted today.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, do I give a shit?
I read an article. Oh, I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. It was all right. I was just going to.
You know, we're getting a lot better about not talking over each other, and I really like that.
I'm trying.
Well, it's hard because I can't see you guys.
That's
so funny. I kind of have to double dutch it and jump in when I can. But other than that, yes, no, I agree. I think it's getting a lot better.
Put your jump rope away, Dan.
Damn it. You never get to double dutch.
We are a hopscotch podcast.
Bullshit! I'm a Foursquare guy.
Oh, I loved
Foursquare. I loved Foursquare.
Right? Who the hell didn't love Foursquare?
Memories.
Right? Ah, nostalgia.
One day we will take a podcast field trip.
Yes. I'm going to play some tetherball. Kill it, tetherball.
We're going to tie Jim to a pole and he will be the tetherball.
It's like, hey, guys.
Well,
we
guys,
we smack him with meat sticks.
He'd like that.
Are we torturing him or pleasuring him?
I'm pretty sure he would get something
a,
out of it.
Little column A, little column B.
Just guys, a big old summer sausage. We've just about run out of time on this train wreck of a show. The beauty is we've had a few laughs and we've had a couple of deep moments where we've had to think, and I think this is a great show.
Deep thoughts with James Robinson.
I don't have any deep thoughts. They're all
he's
shallow.
A shallow man.
I'm a kiddie pool kind of guy. Great. Now I'm a pedophile too.
Yay! And we've circled around.
Is it a stick kitten? That goes, you're a kitty in the kiddie pool? Okay, never mind. Joke didn't land.
Mm-hmm.
Can't win them all. Shut up. At least I tried.
There's some floating baby clothes in the kiddie pool with him. Not sure where the kid went, though.
It's going to scream coming
goes
out.
Goes in crying. Comes out screaming.
Oh, just as funny the second time.
Good
whoever's
times.
Gonna get here and I'm gonna be laughing. What? I'm like, don't even worry about it. Don't even.
I'm not even gonna try and explain it. It'll take too long. Just
right.
Look, honey, it's like when your tiger goes to play with another tiger.
Tiger. Damn tigers. No, I was trying to explain to him the pun, like the stupid pun that I made, and I was like laughing, and he's just staring at me like, uh-huh.
Well, what was the pun? You've got me curious.
Right.
The other show that I was on, and I guest on it every now and then, is called It's All Been Trekked Before, and it's a show where they watch every episode of Star Trek starting from 1963, or is it 67? 1967, I believe. Yeah. So I was on, I just recorded with them on Sunday, and we watched an episode called Obsession, which where... where Captain Kirk, now this is old school, you know, William Shatner Kirk. So Captain Kirk runs across this cloud monster for the second time in his, you know, illustrious career. And he becomes obsessed with it. And one of the guys that we record with, Steven, says, see, it's Obsession, but not by Calvin Klein. And then later in the show, near the end, I said, you know, Obsession by Calvin Klein. And it's not funny. It's stupid, but I love stupid jokes. And Steven just starts laughing. He's not one for puns. Normally, he's like a facepalm, like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that tight. And he just kept... and that just set me off. And I'm just, yeah, so it was stupid joke. And he's like, I don't know why it's so funny.
It works. And it was situational humor. It was wonderful. Yes.
But telling it now, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, it wasn't that funny.
No, yeah. No, it's not.
It's a little cringeworthy, I will say.
Which is why I didn't get into it earlier, but since you asked. But yeah, my boyfriend's looking at me like, okay. And he knows all these people, so he knows the mannerisms and everything.
Well, really quick, all before right. we sound off, I was thinking of you this week, Samantha, because I was going through Netflix, and something popped up, and I jumped up for joy, scared my wife. there's a movie on Netflix currently that was mine and Samantha's first movie commentary together. The classic Teeth. Is on
Teeth?
Netflix.
Ooh. Oh my God.
So bad it was good. So was my, bad.
That was my very first. That was my very first viewing commentary with you. Was that my first episode with you?
No, we'd done a couple episodes leading up to that, but yeah, we.
That was my first movie commentary.
I actually went to a video store, rented it, so we could watch it. Yeah.
Yeah, you were like, Sam, you're in for a treat. And so is this vagina.
So. Nice.
Yeah, so I was like, I should watch that. And then I was like, no, I can't. It won't be as good because Samantha's not here to make the jokes with me.
Right.
You have to watch. Oh, go ahead, Dave.
Well, I was just going to say, it has to happen naturally.
I might have to dig out that commentary and post it up.
Seriously, it was
Halloween time, after all.
It really is, but it's, you know, every so often I like those old commentaries to resurface.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, so I might do that this week. I should check the site to make sure it's not on there already, but if it's not, I might just, as a treat.
Get it.
That's it.
I highly recommend Zombievers and Wolf Cop.
No.
I'll tell you what, though. If I was going to do a first viewing commentary, Zombievers, I would imagine it'd be pretty fucking funny.
You can listen to Samantha's commentary.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not funny at all.
Hey.
Although, I will recommend...
don't you dare.
Not the episode. I mean, watching the
No,
movie.
I want you to... Because the first commentary Samantha did with a couple of friends, you can get on the Not Another Podcast site. You learn so much about Samantha.
Is that the Rawhead Rex?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
It's where you learn that Samantha's a squirter, apparently.
Oh.
Oh, nice. My God.
Good to know.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was
that's contextual.
And horrified the two girls she was right doing the commentary with.
All right.
Oh, they already knew. I've been friends with them for years.
Well, and now I know.
God.
It was worth it just for that, because the one girl's like, "We're recording. Why do you keep saying this stuff?" Samantha's, "Cause we're recording."
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, "Do you not understand this? Got to entertain the people."
Context of subject.
Oh God! See, I hate when that comes up because I'm like, "Oh, it comes," but I'm.
There's a good pun.
There you go. See.
But it's every time, like I blush a bit, and I'm like, I'm by myself, and I'm like, oh, I'm blushing now. Anyway, moving on.
So yeah.
So with that bit of awkwardness, we're gonna say goodbye.
Bye.
Okay. Bye bye.
See you guys next week.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to Not Another Podcast. There are so many places for you to find us outside of www.notanotherpodcast.com. For instance, you can find us on Facebook at Not Another Podcast. You can also find us on Tumblr at www.notanotherpodcast.tumblr.com. You can also find me, Samantha Stark, on Twitter at SamanthaStark3. And you can find James on Twitter as well under James Spooky, spelled with an I-E, not A-Y. And you wanted it, you asked for it, you got it. You can also find us now on iTunes under, you guessed it, Not Another Podcast. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out, Not Another Podcasters.